Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vishnu Bhad, Bhadhamas Prajagacharya, Stokashash Shrimadesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jayam Vishnu Bhad, Bhadhamas Prajagacharya, Stokashash Shrimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki. Anant Goti Vaishnavrinda Ki. Jay Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki. Jai. Hare Krishna, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 5, Chapter 3. Entitled Rishabhdev's Appearance, texts 4 and 5. So these are prose verse, so just I'll read. Later, word to word, we can follow. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ritvija Uchu. I think I can recite here.
अर्हसि मुहुर अर्ह तमारहण हम अस्माकम अनुपथानाम नमो नमः इति एतवद् सदुपाशिक्षितं को अरथि पुमान प्रकृति गुण व्यतिकर मतिर अनीश ईश्वरस्य परस्य प्रकृतिर पुरुषयोर अर्वाकतानाभिरनाम रूपाकृतिभि रूप निरूपणम सकल जन निकाय वृजिन निरसन शिवत्मा प्रवर गुण गणेक देश कथा कथनाद्रिते वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन ऋत्विज उचु द प्रीस्ट सेड अर्हसि प्लीज एक्सेप्ट मुहु अगेन एंड अगेन अर्हतम ओ मोस्ट एक्सॉल्टेड वर्शिपेबल पर्सन अरहणम ऑफरिंग ऑफ वर्शिप अस्माकम ऑफस अनुपात अनुपथानाम हु आर योर सर्वेंट्स नमः रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस नमः रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस इति दस एतावत् सो फार सत बाय एक्सॉल्टेड पर्सनालिटीज उपशिक्षिताम इंस्ट्रक्टेड कह व्हाट अर्हति इज एबल टू मेक पुमान मैन प्रकृति ऑफ मटेरियल नेचर गुण ऑफ द मोड्स व्यतिकर in the transformations mati whose mind is absorbed anisha who is most incapable ishvarasya of the supreme personality of godhead parasya beyond prakriti purushayo the jurisdiction of the three modes of material nature अर्वकतानाभि विच डू नॉट रीच अप टू और विच आर ऑफ दिस मटेरियल वर्ल्ड नाम रूप अकीर्ति भी बाय नेम्स फॉर्म्स एंड क्वालिटीज रूप ऑफ योर नेचर और पोजिशन निरूपणम ascertainment, perception, sakala, all, jananikaya, of mankind, rijna, sinful actions, nirasna, which wipe out, shivatam, most auspicious, pravara, excellent, Gunangana of the transcendental qualities. Ekadesha, one part. Kathanad, by speaking. Rite, accept. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The priest began to offer prayers to the Lord, saying, O most worshipable one, we are simply your servants. Although you are full in yourself, please, out of your causeless mercy, accept a little service from us, your eternal servants. We are not actually aware of your transcendental form, but we can simply offer our respectful obeisances again and again, as instructed by the Vedic literatures and authorized acharyas. Materialistic living entities are very much attracted to the modes of material nature and therefore they are never perfect. But you are above the jurisdiction of all material conceptions. Your name, form and qualities are all transcendental and beyond the conception of experimental knowledge. Indeed, who can conceive of you? In the material world, we can perceive only material names and qualities. We have no other power than to offer our respectful obeisances and prayers unto you. The transcendental form, the chanting of your auspicious transcendental qualities will wipe out the sins of all mankind. That is the most auspicious activity for us, and we can thus partially understand your supernatural position. Jai Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Bhagwan Ki Jai Shri Gaurang Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do with material perception. Even the impersonalist Shankaracharya says, Narayana Paro Vyakta, Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beyond the material conception. We cannot concoct the form and attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We must simply accept the descriptions given in Vedic literatures about the Lord's form and activities. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Chinta Mani Prakara Sadma Sukalpa Vriksha Laksha Vrateshu Surabhir Abhipala Yantam Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasam Brahma Sevya Manam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, yielding all desires in abodes built with spiritual gems and surrounded by millions of purpose trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. We can have some conception of absolute truth, his form and his attributions, simply by reading and descriptions given in Vedic literatures and authoritative statements given by exalted personalities like Brahma, Narada, Shukadeva Goswami and others. Srila Rupa Goswami says, Atha Shri Krishna Namadi Nam Bhaved Grahayam Indriya. We cannot conceive the name, form and qualities of Shri Krishna through our material senses. Because of this, other names for the Lord are Adokshaja and Aprakrita, which indicate that He is beyond any material senses. Out of His causeless mercy upon His devotees, the Lord appeared before Maharaj Nabhi. Similarly, when we are engaged in Lord's devotional service, the Lord reveals Himself to us. Sevan Mukehi Jiva Do Soyam Evas Purati Adha. This is the only way to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Bhakte Amam Abhijanati Yavan Yaschasmi Tatvadha. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the devotional service. There is no other way. We have to hear from the authorities and from the Shastras and consider the Supreme Lord in terms of their statements. We cannot imagine or concoct forms and attributes of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utavada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Deena Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanostute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I would like to welcome devotees this morning to Srimad Bhagavatam class. So here we have just started with the new chapter day before yesterday. And in this chapter, there is appearance of Rishabhdev. Rishabhdev will be appearing. So Rishabhdev is King Nabhi's son. And Nabhi is Agnidhara's eldest son. Agnidhara, whom we came to understand from the previous chapters, he is the eldest son of Priyavrat Maharaj. Priyavrat Maharaj is the eldest son of Manu, Swayambhu Manu. So the lineage of his brother Uttana path is described in fourth canto, and then his other sister Devahuti's lineage is also explained in fourth canto, and then it comes, and I think others are also explained, other sisters, but now Priyavrat Maharaj description started in this beginning of this canto, fifth canto. And here in this chapter we see how Nabhi, who is the eldest son of Agnidhar, when Agnidhar retires, leaves his kingdom, his eldest son Nabhi takes over, and he performs austerities and sacrifices, wherein previous last three verses we saw that how there was a detailed execution of his sacrifice, and mainly his, as usual, is the aim is to beget a son, but his desire was special. He wanted a son like the Lord himself. So he performed, and it is explained that it was a very elaborate sacrifice wherein the Lord was pleased and appeared, and previous verses explain in detail the beautiful form of the Lord. Very nicely explained. So I was just reflecting about the previous verses all so far, what we saw, how Priyavrat Maharaj, he didn't want to get into household life, but he was told and he got into, then seemingly he was entangled, but then he again came out of it. And then his son, Agnidhara, he actually was, as shown in the previous verses, was quite attached to sense gratification, and the previous chapter actually detailedly explained his entanglement. It's quite in detail how he got entangled in his household life, and even after having children, performing his other duties, he still was attached to his wife, who left him to go back to Brahma Loka. And he was attached, and later he also went to the same place. So, as far as King Priyavrat Maharaj's explanation comes, how he was ruling. The previous text, when Shukdev Goswami explained Parikshit Maharaj, that Priyavrat Maharaj was actually doing something very great. He was becoming the next sun and giving light to the whole Bhumandal, which is not a ordinary task. And he actually made the other seven oceans, islands. So Shukdev Goswami explains that the reason for Priyavrat Maharaj's such great endeavors, that Parikshit Maharaj shouldn't get surprised by this. So In those verses he explains, naivam vidha purushakar uru kramasya pumsam tadangri rajasa jita shad gunanam chitram vidura vigata sakrad adadita yannam adeyam aduna sajahati bandham. Shukdev Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj, a king, my dear king, a devotee who has taken shelter of the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord can transcend the influence of the six material whips, namely hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age and death. And he can conquer the mind and five senses. So this is a very big achievement. And who gets it? The one who has taken the shelter of the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord. However, this is not very wonderful for a pure devotee of the Lord, because even a person beyond the jurisdiction of the four castes, in other words, no, the fifth category, is immediately relieved of the bondage of material existence if he utters the holy name of the Lord even once. So he explains the potency of following the authority, that is, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, how Priyavrat Maharaj was serving Lord Vishnu previously, and how he had dedicated his life, and he was pure devotee. So, and later he was following the order of the Lord also. So serving means following the order. So he could achieve such a great, humongous task, which was not ordinarily possible for any other devatas as well. So, Shukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj that you shouldn't be surprised about his achievement, because he had taken shelter of the Lord, complete shelter, and he was able to perform such great wonders, which is referred to as Urukramasya. And in that purport, Prabhupada mentions about Urukrama as the Lord who does great activities, and Lord, one search pastime comes of his Vamandev, Urukrama or Trivikrama, who performed a great pastime of covering the whole three worlds by his only two steps. So, if we see the lineage also of Priyavrat Maharaj before, and his further description of family description, it explains that he also had one daughter whose name was Urjaswati, whom he married to Shukracharya. And Prabhupada mentions about the purport about Vamandev. So Vamandev happened to appear to Bali Maharaj, and that pastime was with Shukracharya. So that was really great thing. And where Shukracharya was accepting, in the later this. So this is very, internal close-knit pastime. Like Bali Maharaj is also connected to Priyavrat Maharaj, and his Shukracharya is also connected to Priyavrat Maharaj, and that pastime is happening there. So, towards the end, as this verse is glorifying the importance of devoting oneself to lotus feet of the Lord and serving Him and His holy name. Similarly, towards the end of that pastime of Vamandev, Shukracharya also confirms same thing, who was actually opposing Bali Maharaj, as we see in that pastimes. The verse he says, Mantratas tantratas chidram desha kala vastuta sarvam karoti nischidram anusankirtana tava. There may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles, and moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person and paraphernalia. But when your lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. So this Shukracharya is also admitting. And thus further glorifying the holy name, as in this 35th verse, Shukadeva Goswami glorifies that how one who takes shelter of the Lord, serves Him, is overcoming the six material whips. And it's not only a question of a devotee, but Prabhupada further explains that even the person who is coming not in the Varnashrama, but just chanting the holy names once, he also comes out of that famous verse we hear, pull in the pulkasha, that famous verse that Prabhupada further elaborates. And also we see here, the same thing is connected here, that later Priyavrat is lamenting about his entanglement in the material world. His daughter Urjaswati is wife of Shukracharya, and their daughter is Devyani, and Devyani's husband is Yayati, and Yayati also laments similarly about the entanglement, which is comes in a very same sequence about their understanding. And in those purports, Prabhupada explains that how one gets entangled gradually in this material world, and how Yayati actually laments. In those purports, Prabhupada is telling like a person who is lusty cannot satisfy his mind even if he has enough of everything in this world, including rice, barley, other food grains, gold, animals, women. Nothing can satisfy him. This is 9th canto, 19th chapter, 13th verse, Prabhupada translates. So as few days back when Devamrit Maharaj was here, he was explaining the modern exploits or modern definition of advancement, where everyone is wanting to exploit the material nature and advance in a so-called civilized manner or gross manner. So Bhagavatam and Vedic scriptures explain that these things, which is connected to the our integral nature, that is contamination of our consciousness by lusty desires, can never be satisfied. And Bhagavatam only tells that. Otherwise, we may be continuously thinking to do material advancement in a sophisticated manner, but it's just going to entangle us. So, therefore, if one becomes Krishna consciousness, then he can give up this heart disease. Otherwise, this disease of lusty desires will continue and one cannot have peace in his mind. So one may have enough money, enough resources to satisfy the senses, still he will not be satisfied, for to endeavor to stop lusty desires by enjoying can never succeed. So this is just like further entanglement. So Yajati is expressing, when a man is non-envious and does not desire ill fortune for anyone, he is equipoised. For such a person, all directions appear happy. So Prabhupada quotes in the verse Prabodhanand Saraswati, where he mentions Vishma Purna Sukhayate, that a devotee sees everything as perfect. Everything is running in order by desire of the Lord. He is not bewildered by so-called overwhelming changes that are happening in happiness or distress. So further he explains that having enjoyed sense gratification for many years, Yayati was accustomed to it, but he gave up it entirely in a moment, just as bird flies from the nest as soon as the wings have grown. So this is a very natural observation, that we see the birds feeding their small kids, till they have wings. And as soon as the wings grow and develop, they immediately fly away from the nest. Previously, they were in such a dependent situation, but after some time, they just are no more connected to it. Similar renunciation of Yayati is explained, that he was so much overwhelmed and so much addicted and dependent on the sense gratification, but immediately after understanding his precarious situation, he gave it up and was no more attached to it. And that's the potency, as this verse of Shukadev Goswami, Naivam Vidha Purushakar Urukramasya, that is, a devotee who has taken shelter of the Lord, his holy name, serving his order, his lotus feet, he remains no more attached to the material entanglement. So, because King Yayati completely surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, he was freed from the contamination of material modes of nature. Because of his self-realization, he was able to fix his mind upon the transcendence, and thus ultimately achieved the position as an associate of the Lord. So, this purport is very similar to the purport of Priyavrat Maharaj, which he explains. So in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that one whose heart is not clean cannot think of transcendental pastimes of the Lord. But if one can once again place the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his heart, he very easily becomes qualified to renounce material attachment. So he quotes, so what does this cleanliness means? You know, like, na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kame mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahetu ki tavai. That's Prabhupada quotes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshashtakam. So similarly, in this purport of Yayati, Prabhupada mentions the word vidhuta means cleansed is very significant. Everyone in this material world is contaminated. And reason is, now Bhagavad Gita 13.22, karanam guna sangosya. Because he is associating with different modes, different people, different consciousness around him. Because we are in material conditions, we are contaminated either by the three gunas, even mode of goodness is binding. So one must come to the platform of Shuddha Sattva. Then one is vidhuta trilinga, cleansed of the contamination caused by the three modes of material nature. This is possible by the mercy of the Lord, as the verse says, Shravanatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyantastoya Badrani Vidunoti Suhrat Satam. By hearing the Sri Krishna, who is Paramatma in everyone's heart and benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So the final solution is spoken about is hearing and chanting. So Yayati, Priyavrat Maharaj, they had long lifespan. Priyavrat Maharaj is explained that he enjoyed for 11 Arubada years. And Yayati also enjoyed so many years. In fact, he changed exchanged his body with his youth with his youngest son to enjoy, but they gradually got the realization. And Bhagavatam mentions about other characters also, like Pururava also. And here we see Agnidhar also, but Agnidhar achieving success is nowhere mentioned in the Bhagavatam, because he was still attached to the sense gratification. So hearing and chanting cleanses our heart, as this purport of Priyavrat Maharaj lamenting, Yayati Maharaj lamenting, how their heart got cleansed. Of course, they underwent experience, but they recalled their connection with the Lord. And that is how, by hearing and chanting again, they overcame their position of entanglement. So, this is not something... No, like, we may accidentally fall upon this entanglement which is created in the material world, but it is organized by the Lord Himself through the Creator. You know, Brahmaji creates in the very beginning, He makes five kinds of ignorances: Tamisra, Antamisra, Moha, Mahamoha, Abhinivesh. No, these kinds of ignorance, after creating, Brahma Himself is not very much pleased. But these ignorances, it helps the jiva to forget his spiritual connection and enjoy in the material world. And of course, the beginning is done by the Lord's devotees. Lord sets the example of this through his devotees. So here Priyavrat Maharaj is taken for an example that how he does good for the universal administration and later goes again goes back to the Lord, but it's done through him only, through his devotees, and then gradually the others are inspired to take the same path, take responsibility, and then take to spiritual life. Now, as the previous verses also mentioned, that we see Priyavrat Maharaj indulging into so-called mundane sense gratification, you know, with his family, wife, and is explained that his nuptial love went on growing day by day. And similarly, we see like Dhruva Maharaj was also benedicted to have sense gratification. No, his senses were intact till 36,000 years as a young person. So we observe that Lord gives permission to some of his selected devotees to have sense gratification also, as we see here. But when we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, if someone why should I give Maya Sukh, which is like a poison, to the people who are unintelligent? They may be foolish, but I am intelligent. No, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that. Of course, one of the criteria is that in Kali Yuga, lifespan is very short. One may not understand. And Maya is also so great that it's all times that it's not possible to come to the conclusion by our own trial error or experimentation. As today's verse also says that Lord and his energies are beyond experiments. So we see that Lord exhibited, you know, through his devotees, he gave opulence to Priyavrat Maharaj, he gave opulence to Dhruv Maharaj, he gave opulence to Sudama. On the other side, we see he gave suffering to Pandavas. He gave suffering to Chitraketu Maharaj, who later became Vritrasur. And we also see, in a way, he gave suffering to Jada Bharat, that is Bharat Maharaj, you know, who will be coming in line with Rishabdev. So it's up to the Lord how he wants to teach to the common conditioned beings through his devotees. Another point is, one may, you know, someone may become very much attached to his sense gratification and he starts thinking others of being envious of his position. So by seeing through this observation, as Acharyas explain, that we can understand that Lord is giving sense gratification also to selected intelligent people. No? They are not immature to get entangled. So Lord is not jealous, like wanting everything for himself, or one may immaturely think of. And also in this purport of this glorification of Priyavrat Maharaj, where we saw in the beginning, Prabhupada mentions that some Brahmanas, you know, like he quotes that, no, famous verse, Kirat, Huna, Andhra, Linda, Pulkasha, even if these kinds of people who are not in Varnashrama system, not having very good birth, if they take to chanting of the holy names, they are immediately transformed and they become devotees. So Prabhupada mentions sometimes caste Brahmanas or Smartha Brahmanas may say that unless one changes his body, he cannot be accepted as a Brahmana. He has to accept a Brahmanical body. That's what Prabhupada puts the argument which many Smartha Brahmanas have. So we see, first of all, we need to understand what are the qualities of Brahmanas. Also, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains in his that great famous debate, the qualifications of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. So how Brahmanas should be prideless, compassionate, many other qualities. So we see in case of Daksha's pastime, Daksha in his previous birth, when he was father of Mother Sati and father-in-law of Lord Shiva, he was a Brahmana in that birth. So when his wife Sati had asked him that, no, we should go to the yagya in which they are uninvited because they are family member. So he tells that although your father must be having many other qualities, but one quality or disqualification right now he has, which I have personally witnessed, is pride. And when someone has pride, all other so-called disqualifications are all other so-called qualifications are polluted. So we cannot believe on him. And that's what happened later. When Sati went, she faced insult, and as in Bhagavad Gita says, for one who is honored, insult is worse than death. And of course, she wanted to prove the position of her husband also there, but it was a disaster out there. So there we see that Daksha, although a Brahmana, but he was having pride and he couldn't discriminate properly. We also see, you know, this something we can relate with Dhruva Maharaj and relationship of his stepmother Suruchi. Now, although Dhruva Maharaj is coming of the same family lineage, same everything close, but she is still discriminating him with him and expressing her pride to be being favorite to Maharaj Uttanapad. So here we see that these so-called designations of being Brahmana or being a favorite one are used as for selfish motives for fulfilling one's own personal agenda. Where here we see Suruchi trying to get her superior position, and that was not out of compassion. A Brahmana is supposed to be compassionate, but she is in a way expressing her envy indirectly, and that's how we see in case of Daksha also. So Prabhupada very nicely refutes this argument that of one to become a Brahmana, one has to take birth in a Brahmana family. So he quotes Sanatan Goswami, who mentions that on initiation by pure devotees into chanting holy name of the Lord, one's body changes as he follows the instructions of the spiritual master. Sa jahati bandham. He gives up his material bondage. Now he compares, body is symbolic representative of material bondage according to one's karma. So that's what the normally Brahmanas emphasize. You know, proper upper birth or Brahmana birth or Brahmana body. So he's telling that, Prabhupada mentions that it's a result of one's karma. Although sometimes we cannot see gross body changing, chanting holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead immediately changes the subtle body. And because subtle body changes, the jiva is freed from the material bondage. Changes of gross body are conducted by subtle body. After destruction of gross body, subtle body takes the living entity from present gross body to another gross body. So his main point is that by one who takes devotional service of the Lord, who is always remembering Lord, who is chanting the Lord's name, his subtle body changes, and subtle body is the reason behind the gross body. So he is changing his body also in a way if one is taking to devotional service, thus refuting the arguments of the Smartha Brahmanas. So in subtle body, the mind is predominant, and therefore if one's mind is always absorbed in remembering the activities or lotus feet of the Lord, he is to be understood to be have already changed his present body and become purified. So that's very nicely explained. Prabhupada brings up that how so-called smart people may be talking about the person who is performing spiritual activities from a lower background is not still in a improper position. Externally through Varnashrama he may be, but internally he is changing his body, and because the subtle body affects the gross body, he is changing his gross body as well. And on this connection, like these external limitations of Varnashrama as well. So Brahmaji mentions in 10th canto, तावद रागाध्यस्तेनस तावद कारा ग्रह ग्रहम तवन मोह अंगरी निगड़ो यावत कृष्ण नते जना। बट अंटिल पीपल बिकम योर डिवोटीज देयर मटेरियल अटैचमेंट्स एंड डिजायर्स रिमेन थीव्स देयर होम्स रिमेन प्रिजन्स एंड देन अफेक्शनेट फीलिंग्स फॉर द रिलेटिव्स बिकम देयर फुट शैकल्स। सो दिस इज वेरी यू नो समवन स्टिल बोथ फॉर ए हायर फैमिली समवन इज अटैच और इन जनरल फैमिली ऑल्सो इफ इज कृष्णा इज नॉट द सेंटर द होम बिकम्स ए प्रिजन द अदर इमोशंस बिकम लाइक शैकल्स। And next, Brahmaji also explains in 10th canto, Prapancham nisprapanchopi vidambayasi bhutale prapanno janatananda sandoham pratitum prabho. So he is glorifying the Lord that you have nothing to do with the material existence. You come to this earth and imitate material life just to expand the varieties of ecstatic enjoyment for your surrendered devotees. So this word prapancham, now I was seeing that its literal meaning is that which is material or composed of prapanch of five elements. Those are enjoyed by five senses with five objects of sense gratification. So prapancha. So prapancha also means a conspiracy in current context. So there is a prapancha made by, as we were mentioning before, the Brahmaji's profile, that there is a prapancha created for everyone. Everyone is under conspiracy of being entangled in this material world by identifying himself with this material world whose nature is temporary and is frustrated. And here he mentions that Lord comes into this material world only to give ecstasy to his devotees and relish enjoyment with them. So he is not entangled that way. So this brings us to the today's verse where these great Ritviks, pujaris who are worshipping and in yajna, and who have the priests who are offering to the Lord prayers to the Lord. Lord has appeared after performing their great elaborate sacrifice for King Nabhi, and then they are explaining in today's verse that how Lord has nothing to do with material existence. Now this material existence is an entanglement trap for the conditioned jiva, but he just comes for the relishing his pastimes further. So, and he is above the jurisdiction of material conception. So Bhagavad Gita explains 9th chapter 10th verse, Maya dakshina prakriti suyate sara characharam hetu nanena kaunteya jagat ap parivartate. This material nature, which is one of my energies producing all moving and non-moving beings, is working under my direction. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So, as today's verse mentions, that how Lord is not entangled, but it is everything is working under him. Prabhupada explains in that Bhagavad Gita verse, Lord simply casts a glance over material principle and creation occurs. But less intelligent can't understand this because avajananti ma muda manushim tanuma ashrita. Fools deride me when I descend to human form. They don't know the transcendental nature as of the Lord as Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why are so-called atheists or fools? Because they don't want to consider Krishna as the cause of all causes, because they want to compare Lord to their own limited conception. And that is the reason they are further bewildered. Moga asha, moga karmano, moga jnana vichetasa. So who are thus bewildered are further attracted to demonic and atheistic views, and all their purposes are defeated. But on the other hand, others who believe or have faith or come to the conclusion that how Krishna is the center, Krishna says, Mahatma Namstu Mam Partha Devim Prakatim Ashrita. They are not deluded. These people who have some faith on the Lord are not deluded. They are under the protection of the divine energy and they are fully engaged in devotional service. Now, Acharyas explain that this divine energy is the internal potency of the Lord, which is none other than Srimati Radharani. And Prabhupada explains in that purport that so-called philosophers and scientists who are engrossed in atomic energy and gigantic situation of the universal form around their surrounding give respect to the external phenomenal feature of the material manifestation and not to the noumenal principle of spiritual existence. So, and that, for that also Prabhupada says, if they are so much attracted by the external energy of the Lord, then they should take to the understanding of the universal form of the Lord as Shukdev Goswami is explaining in the second canto, where he explains that there is nothing beyond the conception of Virat form. The minds of materialistic men are flickering and therefore they are constantly changing. So the none of the materialistic thoughtful can go beyond the conception of gigantic form. So those who are like completely flickering, non-believing in the personal form of the Lord, they should at least take to the understanding of the Virat Roop or universal understanding of the Lord, where everything one sees is the limb of the Lord. And if one can see that way and connect that way, then slowly he will develop devotional service to the Lord. So now, also like as this translation mentions that Lord is beyond the concept of external experimental knowledge. So it is explained in Bhagavad Gita itself that soul, existence of soul, one cannot perceive by his external senses. Now, second chapter, Bhagavad Gita, 25th verse. Avyaktoyam achintoyam avikaroyam uchyate. Still, by common sense, we can perceive the presence of the soul. Just like we cannot see air, but when we see a dust storm, when we feel some fragrance, we can understand there is air flowing around, although we cannot see it by our senses. So similarly, we may not be able to observe or see the soul, which are we, but we should come to the common understanding which the current civilization is not going into it. Because, you know, Prabhupada explains that and for that one should take to the understanding from superior authorities, and just like one knows about his father through authority of mother. So one can understand the authority of Lord through the mother Vedas. So Vedic knowledge is explained that way. So normally people may not want to consider themselves, everything should be everything should be known, everything should be analyzed, because they want to understand things according to their perception, their understanding. But Krishna is not like that. Now, you may be seeing Krishna enjoying with so many gopis, and we may conclude that he is lusty. He is having just normal mundane affairs of the material world. But now Bhagavatam explains, Uddama bhava pishunamal valguhasa vrida valoka nihato madano piyasam samuya chapamajahat pramadottamasta yasyendriyam vihitutam kuhokerna sheku. So although queens of Krishna had beautiful smile and glances which could conquer Cupid and even Lord Shiva, but they could not agitate the senses of Krishna. So Now, Bhagavatam verse explains this. So, we shouldn't understand our kind of attraction, infatuation with the way Krishna is performing pastimes. And that's the kind of discrimination and understanding we should take to, while understanding to the authority of the Lord. And follow according to the Shastras as explained by Acharyas. So these were few thoughts I had regarding today's verse, where I spoke little bit about Priyavrat Maharaj, his lamentation, comparing it with Yayati Maharaj, who also was similarly lamenting. And then how Shastras explain that it is important to keep Krishna as center of the material life, household life. Otherwise, like, it's just like entangling shackles. And how we should approach a superior authority to understand Lord and his pastime. Although it is not understandable, but we should make an endeavor, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, to understand the Siddhanta or Tattva of the Lord, one should not be lazy. And otherwise, one will unnecessarily get covered by Maya and so many doubts. So, Prabhupada very nicely explained that how anyone who takes to spiritual practice seriously, how his body is transformed, it's not a bodily limitation. Now, how Lord can be understood only through authority and accordingly. So these were few thoughts, and he is beyond experimentation and our personal perception. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Anyone have any comments, questions? Thank you so much. Shilurupa Daki Jaya.